And we segue into our conversation, as we do on the, I think it's the first and fourth Thursdays of the month, with educators from UNL Extension. Today, Todd Whitney gets the call. How you doing, Todd?
Oh, doing great. How you doing, Corey?
Hey, I'm doing well as well, and better since these wildfires are getting under control anyway. I think we got 98% on the Cottonwood one, and they've declared 100% containment on the Morrill one, so that's good news.
Yeah, good news, although we keep hearing about, you know, maybe something sparking up over Hyannis this morning, too.
There is a little spark up over there, but doesn't, at this point, nothing major, and hopefully they'll be able to get that put out before it becomes a focus and needs a lot of firefighting effort, but right now it appears to be minor. So you want to kind of along that theme of what producers have been going through with the Cottonwood fire, especially here. We're going to potential drought is on the horizon too, if the weather pattern doesn't change. And then we got all these wildfire management options that UNL Extension is and USDA is offering, right?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of options that people are thinking about. Some of them do have some long-term decision making, and there'll be some provisions that we're going to have some meetings coming up that will be part of the USDA sharing what they can and can't do. Example is that there's been some thought even before the fire, with the commodity prices being lower on corn and soybeans, that some were thinking about, well, maybe I could put something else on those acres rather than corn and soybeans, maybe go in with something that would be a little less input costs. And so now with the wildfires going through, there's been a lot more conversations that people have been saying, well, maybe we could grow some forages or grow something that would be a perennial crop that could be helpful for those that have lost a lot of their pasture acres and come up with some different plans with that.
Okay, so there are some options available, and I'm sure you have lots of resources on the Extension website to guide people.
Yeah, we have been directing a lot to the disaster.unl.edu. I will mention that there are some provisions that are still kind of in the works. Example is for CRP, Conservation Reserve acres, those are becoming available for usage. The challenge, though, is that there is a nesting period for the game birds, that they won't be able to be on those acres during that time, and they can check with some of those provisions of what those might be, whether it be kind of that mid-April to early May time, that they may not be able to graze on those. So on the surface, it sounds like a quick solution that they could go to switch them over, maybe if there are some of those acres available, but there are some provisions that need to be worked out. And so that's where we're waiting until we get kind of some clarity about some of the programs. Front part of April, we're planning to have some public meetings to invite in the public to come here. We're focusing a lot on those that were directly impacted, the ranchers especially. The Morrill fire was probably 98% range that was up in that region. Range and cover crops are what we're kind of looking at. When you get down in that Cottonwood area, a lot more cedars, eastern red cedars. In fact, I've been thinking maybe calling it the smoky cedar fire, because there's just been a lot of cedars that have been posing problems down that region there, such as they'll have a had it put out, and then they kind of come back again because the cedars will spark back up. And, you know, just a lot of recognition to our volunteers and the firefighters, all the people that came in, was just really helpful to help on that.
Yes, so you have a lot of resources on that disaster. What's the webpage again on that?
Okay, so you can go to any of our websites such as cropwatch.unl.edu. The disaster.unl.edu is specifically designed for things like this. We've also been linking with the Nebraska Department of Agriculture on some of the resources that they have, and mm-hmm. you can go to the disaster relief. They have their listing of some of the fencing supplies, hay drop-off, the pickup locations. I know locally here, Randy Sainer, that's been in our extension office, yep. has been kind of our lead on getting those contacts since he's a livestock educator, and that has been helpful, I think, for people. It's just so massive and so big. I mean, the number of acres, we've never seen anything like it here in Nebraska. And so it's a record setter. And so that's where I think a lot of people, though, are stepping it up. And it's just heartwarming when you see, you know, the convoys of semi-loads of round bales, you know, 10 or 12 semi-loads yes. coming in trying to help out. You know, people are stepping it up. And it's just going to take a lot, though.
Yeah, we definitely see that. That's about the one of the few good things that come out of disasters like this, is that you see people's response to it, and it kind of warms your heart to see the response, for sure. You mentioned meetings that you're going to be putting on here, and tell us about those that we know for sure that we have planned.
Yeah, at this point, you know, we do have the decisions on where the locations are going to be, the dates. We've got some of the details are still kind of coming together. I would say on Tuesday, April 7th, will be the kickoff up at Valentine. There'll be a meeting up in that region. And then on Wednesday, the 8th, we're planning to have a meeting at Arthur and for the Morrill Fire. Then we look at Brady will be our primary location for the Cottonwood fire, and that will be we're still getting confirmation on the exact location. It'll be at Brady. Okay. It's going to be from 4 to 6. We'll have a supper after that for people to come in.
Okay.
And then on the 10th there'll be a meeting at Oshkosh, and so that'll be again with the Morrill fire.
So kind of, you know, you got the got some of the dates and the play the towns, but you haven't secured the venue yet for some of these.
Yeah, we're very close to getting those finals in. I think a lot of the meetings will be daytime oriented. The one over at Brady will be more geared toward the afternoon, evening, trying to make kind of a little bit of a mix of when people can come to those.
Sure.
There will be some difference in the meetings, although we're working with the statewide FSA office, Farm Service Agency, and also with the other USDA partners of the NRCS. And for the Morrill Fire, where it's mainly geared toward range and ranchers, it'll have a little different a context to it. We've been talking about the RMA, the Risk Management Association, for some in the area where we have the cropland and what that might look like, if there's going to be some thoughts about putting some cover crops. In some cases, people have some rye or wheat that they were just planning to use as kind of a conversion crop. In some cases, people may just let it keep on growing, use it as more of a forage. And so those are some provisions that need to mm-hmm. be talked about, okay, what does that look like if we're now looking at it as more of a forage rather than kind of a cover crop that's going to help until you get the next cash grain crop growing there.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be some shifts on what people are thinking.
Okay. So these are good things, and I'm sure as more details come in and as you add more meetings and places, you'll publish those online. So
yeah, we do have on our website too. If you go to the West Central Research Extension Center, there was a Zoom evening session that we had with Aaron Berger and also Jerry Velosky, and then uh-huh. also Mary Dernowski, where they talked about the usage of some of the summer annuals, also winter mm-hmm. annuals, cool season versus warm season. And it's something that they, if they have some time, that they could go ahead and click onto that. It's free for people to learn a little bit more about what are some of those decisions and choices that are there. Uh-huh. And so those resources, again, you can either link to that through our West Central Research Extension Center or a Lincoln County office, or you can go to the cropwatch.unl.edu mm-hmm. and then look onto that. And it's kind of a crossover between drought and then also wildfire, because some of those linkages are still there, that when the rains come will dictate how fast we get recovery. And so right. We can have, you know, more vegetation growth if we get the rain within 30 to 45 days. We can have some of these cover crops that are available to provide some forage. But many of these regions are very, very dry, and it's going to take some while to, even if we start getting the rains, for the recovery to happen. It can happen. I know down in Kansas, the Flint Hills, they burn them off every year and they come back. But we're really dependent on rainfall. And so I think mm-hmm. a lot of people praying for rain that we can get some rain and get some recovery.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just think it's great that UNL Extension is going to be a part of the recovery process. And then you have so many different resources that you can tap into and mm-hmm. and offer to people to help them in this, you know, because we have, I mean, just not even factoring in the emotional side of yeah. what it would be like to lose, you know, your potential to make money, basically, and then have to find new, you know, places to graze your cattle and all that. It's just, there's a lot of loss yeah. from this, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, especially on some of them that have lost the entire ranch, I right. mean, including the dwelling.
Yeah.
'Cause for some people, just losing a house is a major
yeah.
major problem. And
yeah,
now,
I could imagine.
If, you know, if you got everything happening all at once, it's pretty...
But your whole livelihood, just imagine what that'd be like, you know?
Yeah, 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 and it's just sad. I mean, it's one of those, because there's been a few really nice dwellings that have been just consumed, and all that's left is ash,
sure.
and that's really a sad thing for people.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just a reminder, you being here today, UNL Extension is... There is another resource for people to tap into, and I'm sure you welcome people calling you. And
yeah, definitely.
And if
yeah.
you know, getting advice, or you can point them if you don't directly handle something, you can point them in a direction that will get them help. Right?
Yeah, yeah. And keep in mind that there's going to be a lot of time factor to it. When we had wildfire go through in 2022 down in the Cambridge area and Elwood area, was an example for me about it's not just an instantaneous you get over it.
Right.
And even on some of the cropland, we were looking at that it was an impactor for at least 2 years to four yep. years after the fire. You can still see some of those effects, even if you get timely rainfall, even if you have... Because the fire that comes through has a tendency of crusting the top of the soil, and
yep.
it doesn't have water infiltrate like normal after
right.
after a wildfire. So it takes a lot of softening of the surface with some rains, and so it just doesn't recover as quickly as what you sometimes normally think. Well, if we had some drought, we're going to see recovery quicker. There are some
right.
factors that come into it.
For sure. If people would like more information and want to get a hold of your office, what's the number? And if you want to give your email address too, that'd be great.
Yeah, so if they want to directly reach me, as far as my cell number is 308-995-7272. But otherwise, they can get a hold of our local office. Phone number is 308-696-6783, and then they can direct from there. My email is twhitney3@nebraska.edu, or they can go online and go to extension.unl.edu, or any of our locations can help direct.
Okay.
Again, beef.unl.edu or cropwatch.unl.edu are
yeah.
also good linkages for some resources.
Yeah, you can get lost in what all the different websites and links and all that going to, but that's great. A lot of good resources to check out. Todd Whitney from UNL Extension has been our guest this morning. Appreciate you coming in, Todd, talking about this timely subject.
Well, thank you, Corey, and also shout out to the Huskers with Iowa today.
Oh, boy, yeah. You asked me what I felt about how it was going to go, and I said it's kind of a coin flip game, one of those coin flip games, you know.
Yeah.
And they're both very capable of winning, and we'll just see who's able to make the plays down the stretch, because I think it's going to go down to the wire again.
Yeah.
Maybe another overtime game.
yeah,
it's not for the faint of heart to watch, for sure, today. But go Big Red on
yes.
that, for sure. Thank you, sir. We'll have you in down the line. Okay,
thank you.